There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
It's me, Bob Dole. Ouch. I'm in hell. I finally died.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Is it worse than World War II, Bob?
No. World War II was still harder for Bob Dole. What Bob Dole did, what Bob Dole has seen, the murders that Bob Dole personally committed in the war and afterwards.
Sure.
Look at this hand.
Bob Dole's hand can only write in pencil.
And
that's
now
right.
I'm dead. I can't believe Bob Dole finally died.
He finally died. And 98 years young.
I'm not even anti-Bob Dole. I'm neutral on Bob Dole. I had to go look it back up. Like,
yeah.
I looked it up to try to see. It was like, well, what evils did he do? And it was back before, like, Republicans were just more so like, Bob Dole. Like, it was just a man saying his name over and over again. That's as far as I could get. I know that he probably did something fucked up.
Well, he and Strom Thurmond probably had some pretty interesting conversations. Oh. But anyway, welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with the morning Henry Zebrowski, because I know it's been hard for you. It's been hard.
Where else would I look to? He was my moral compass.
Bob Dole.
Think about, what would invalid Bob Dole do? Every day when I wake up, like, oh, what would cancer-ridden Bob Dole,
who
hasn't had a full solid thought in his fucking dome since in probably 10 years?
Probably 10, maybe even 20 years. Yeah, at some point in life, don't you just want to move on to the other side? And that's the goal, though, is to live long enough where death is just the wonderful respite that it was intended to be.
Oh, yeah, man, because I am not one who is going to go gently into that good night.
No,
I know that no
scream.
Matter. I'm going to scream. I think that my death is going to be unpleasant for whoever who's left around.
Because sure,
a lot of being like, it's going to be, I was lied to. Was lied to. A lot of that of being like, give me the secrets of the government. And everyone's going to be like, you can't have those. No
but
one
it'll
did.
Be fun
actually,
because when you're like 80 years old, because you are by on camera, perhaps look a little bit larger in stature. But in reality, you're fairly petite. And when
you
get super old, you get more and more petite.
I don't want to get more petite.
You're going to.
No,
and
you'll
just
why
be this fun 80-year-old, like, in a big jacket, just randomly screaming. It's going to be a great look on you.
I want to stretch out my back. That's why I do all, like, the back stretches, because I don't want to get the hunch. My father went from 5'7" to at least 5'3". And it's, I guess it's fine by the time you're that age, because Natalie will stay her height. And so, like, I think that she, I mean,
well, I'll
Nat's
stretch
gonna
you.
Be
every,
hot until she's dead. And
every
so, like,
time
I'll be
I
next
see
to her.
Her. From now on, I'll stretch you out a little bit.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Give me
a
shot.
That's great. Well, I'm happy we got to mention Bob Dole on this show, because I totally forgot to mention him on Top Hat. So there we go. Another classic Kissel. Well, speaking of death, we do have one small update on this alleged cult leader. This is Leah Amy Carlson. All of her followers were arrested because they were like, what happened to this freaking woman, you know? But then
they didn't know what to do.
They didn't know what to do with the body. Yeah.
No. And we did a little bit of a relaxed fit on her. We talked about her death and where she ended up. She was basically, she'd got turned into a potpourri bundle by the
she
very
really
end
did.
Of her life. She, I like how
she
they
looked like, she looked like, what is it? Quicksilver? What's the name of that? Silver Surfer? She looked like the Silver
sorta.
Surfer because
yeah,
of all the colloidal silver that she consumed.
If only the Silver Surfer, if the Silver Surfer only surfed on couches, that's what I would say she looked like. But what I like is that this homepage, the Daily Beast, this article I'm looking at, first of all, they call it a new age sect, which means they've been approached by lawyers. So
yes, and
that's
of course
why
that's for
love
the,
is one.
Yes, for the love is one cult, yes.
She was found, right? She was in a green sleeping bag, and her eyes were missing, which we still don't even know why her eyes were missing. That's what they said.
Know.
Now, they said that it was not trauma-induced.
Don't
they
the
guess
eyes
they
melt
just,
away? Is it, what is the first thing, and it's sidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com, what's the first thing to melt away? I would assume that the eyes are like, well, you're dead. I don't need to be here anymore. I think that it would puddle fairly quickly.
But I think that takes like a fucking minute. She wasn't dead that long. I think you're talking like mummies, like real mummies. I don't know how long she was dead. So they found her body. They arrested the people that had the body. And then again, they turned it a little bit into what John Wayne Gacy, his way, his tactic of saying like, you're just mad because I'm running a cemetery without a license. Because they don't know what to charge them with. And they found out that, guess what? She died of alcoholism.
Yeah, she died of alcoholism and anorexia, and again, a massive love of colloidal silver.
Yeah, she was 75 pounds. There was some fucked up. They put glitter makeup all over her eyeless skull, right? Which is, they still don't know. And they said, Russell simply remarked on the body's missing eyes. They were not appreciated secondary to decomposition. But I don't know what that means. I think that means they did not melt away, like you said, but it showed no evidence of trauma. Like, they didn't see the melon baller marks that would pop them out.
Yeah, they didn't get the old sherbet scoop there.
No, but she had two pairs of socks. She had a gold-colored handband. Cute! And then she wore gray cotton pants with a quote-unquote diaper containing red purge-type fluid. Which is not good.
Red purge type fluid. I don't know. Anyway, Carlson, aka the Mother God, she said she was the reincarnation of Jonah Arc and Marilyn Monroe, which let's just say she took a couple of, what's the term I'm looking
liberties.
For? Liberties. Liberties with who she was reincarnated as.
Oh, yes.
Jonah Arc and Marilyn Monroe.
And this is really gotta be intense for this kind of shit. She drank 10 shots of vodka a night, apparently. And then she,
for 75 pounds, that's a lot. I mean, for you and I, we can probably do it.
Yeah, I try not to do it a night. I could do it one night a month and then recover for 2 weeks. But this fucking, she had 470 micrograms, more than six times the daily average intake from the environment of colloidal silver in her body, which is why she also was permanently silver, which is, it's a lot, man.
I feel like the alcohol was the least devastating thing to her body. It's, I think, maybe the lack of food and eating all that colloidal silver. But you know what, Henry?
It didn't help. Also, here's a beep, 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 beep. Another update here from Onside Stories.
Yeah, this is breaking news.
Apparently, you shouldn't be drinking cactus water for survival, unlike what I said to all of our listeners to do last week on the Lizzie Borden episode.
What's wrong with the cactus water?
It severely dehydrates you, and it does the exact opposite. Oh. Of what I said it does. It does not hydrate you. Mm. They say don't do it. Apparently you should go to a crick. You really can't, because in cowboy movies, which is what I learned that from.
Sure.
Was various media. I think I learned it from Looney Tunes. Did you cut open the cactus and then you drink the water inside of it?
Yeah.
But apparently,
you know, that is actually our source for a lot of the conversation we have on this show is Looney Tunes. So.
Oh, yes. And drinking cactus water on an empty stomach will give you diarrhea or make you vomit, therefore dehydrating you even further. And this is because, because inside of the cactus, the water that is trapped in its pulp is highly acidic. And so your body has to work really hard to get the alkalis or whatever bullshit out of it. I don't know. I don't fucking know.
Sure.
Obviously, I don't know. I said to drink all the cactus water last week. So this is all new information to me. And apparently, in an extreme situation, you can drink a few sips of what is specifically fish hook barrel cactus. Right?
Okay.
But then they
said, supposed to know the difference between cactus.
Cacti. Also, we're gonna be dead out there, bro. We are not supposed to be in nature. But the Sarians or Sari Indians, I'm not sure how you pronounce their tribe, but apparently they would use the cactus as emergency water. Okay. But then I guess it gave them severe pain in their bones and vomiting if they did it on an empty stomach.
That sounds horrible.
Also can't. It is.
Well, you know, that it's a great segue to a story. That speaking of nutrition,
the most important story of the week, even though we got the juicy Smollett trial going on. Have you done it? Have you looked at any of the updates on that shit?
Oh, yeah. No, I have.
That's the movie. The movie is him putting together that attack.
No, I don't believe.
No, absolutely not.
It's fairly remarkable. But
him paying his gay lover to like put the noose around him, all this kind of shit. It's wild. It's fun.
It is. If you are following that trial, we will cover it. More
and,
as well.
The Ghislaine Maxwell trial, which is also going on, and the fact that they just showed that Jeffrey Epstein definitely visited Bill Clinton to the White House 17 times.
Everyone goes to the White House 17 times.
Yeah, everybody who's Michael Jordan. goes to the White House.
He only got to
times.
Go well a forever championship, so probably six times.
Six times, but then, man, honestly, it's so I don't know where that's at. They opened up the little black book. They named everybody. Obviously, Donald Trump was at the top of that list. That Prince Andrew Garfield, is that his whole name? He also was on that list. They're all on that fucking. I mean, and she still hasn't said a single word. But did you
not
see
yet.
That? I saw that one haunting picture that was. Ghislaine looking at the woman that was painting her, like, you know, like they have the court artist, and it's Ghislaine with two fucking her pervert laser eyes staring into the eyes of the court artist as the as she, and she's drawing the artist back.
You
in
know,
a defiant, in a, her defiant way
I
of attacking
I will say that
the court.
That court artist is doing a bang-up job. Really,
yeah, good.
Really good pieces of art. So we'll keep you updated on the Ghislaine Maxwell trial and, of course, what's going on with Jussie Smollett. As a, it's just a, you know, sometimes isn't life crazier than art?
Yes.
Okay, well, speaking of absolutely batshit insane, you know, we fly now. We actually like to fly Delta. But
I do.
There was a woman on a Delta flight, and people were like, oh, this woman's breastfeeding. And then many people, you hear that, and you're like, oh, okay, brave. Almost brave, right? Because the child needs nutrition, right? But it wasn't a child
well,
she was breastfeeding.
We're not allowed
it was,
to. Because when a woman breastfeeds a child, you're not supposed to look, right?
No, it would be disrespectful to look. And also, like, okay, literally, you're saving. Or draw.
You're not supposed to draw. You're not supposed to be looking at it, right? And because, yes,
but in this case, I don't think people could look away.
No.
Because we have found out that she was not, again, breastfeeding a child. She was breastfeeding her hairless cat. And the quote is, the cat was, quote, screaming for its life.
I don't
what
know
happened?
What the hell
what
happened.
Do you react like? What do you react like when you look over and you're like, I think that woman is breastfeeding her cat. How
I
do you, what alert? Is there a button that you hit on the plane?
I don't know.
Do you
I
tell the pilot?
Know. No, I say nothing. I say nothing. You know why? Because I want
know.
The plane to land where it's supposed to. I don't want them to turn the plane around. I don't want them to duct tape this woman. Because when it comes down to it, she, I guess, is harmlessly insane. Who knows? Natalie and I joke
know.
About it all the time because they don't, like, it's very hard to bring an animal on flights now. And, like, Wendy's,
sure.
Wendy is built to be on a flight, right? Because she's 7 pounds. She's really small. She just sits in Natalie's lap. But now it's very difficult to take a dog out there. But we joke about what if we dress her as a little baby and put her in a bassinet. People were going to fight you if they think you're fucking unapproachably insane.
No, I think that they probably wouldn't. But again, if you whip your tit out and start breastfeeding your cat,
this is the problem.
People would be like, well, that's just strange on so many reasons. So
I thought
so
that this
levels.
Was a joke. When this was first came out, right, I did not
oh,
think
course.
That this was real.
Yes.
I didn't want to, because I think this came out last week and we were going to do it on the episode. And I was like, there's no way this story's
no way.
Real. But then they've shown that on the message system, they have this thing called the Aircraft Communications Addressing and Reporting System, which
yes.
is ACARS, to alert Delta crew in Atlanta. She sent a message basically saying Pax and 13A is breastfeeding a cat and will not put cat back in its carrier when FA requested. And then there's no response. There's no like haha. There's no like what is the woman has not been named yet. We don't know. But apparently she did have it all swaddled
up in a blanket.
In a blanket. Right? And then she looked over and she said that their shirt was up. And she was smashing the cat into her titty to
yeah.
get it to latch. And this is the thing, man, is do you want it to latch with
I
its
guess.
Fucking cat teeth?
I do the cat teeth, the cat tongue. This woman obviously had very strong nipples because they could deal with a lot of the pulling and tugging that a cat would provide. Yeah, the flight attendant said the hairless cat was swaddled up in a blanket and it looked like a baby. Her shirt was up, trying to latch it to the tit. And then again, the flight attendant said the cat was, quote, screaming for its life.
But
so,
this
anyway.
Is, all right, and then I like also that because of the story, Delta then had to put out a statement saying, we fully support a woman's right to breastfeed.
Yes,
right? Like,
this really has nothing to do with it.
This has not nothing to do with the act of breastfeeding. But then Natalie asked a question when I told her about the story. Natalie got sad, by the way. I thought it was funny. But when
she thought the story was sad.
She was just because she felt that the woman obviously was broken and completely insane. And what are you going to do?
I mean,
but she was. She obviously is.
Yeah.
But she must. This is my question. Is she actively breastfeeding a child or was she also that crazy in thinking I could fool everybody into thinking this cat's a baby if I breastfeed it? No one will tell me to put it back in the carrier.
It could be that case. Yes, of course, because that's what she didn't want to do. She didn't want to put the cat in the carrier.
But it's only funny if it's Amy Schumer or like if this is like a real comedian. That's a funny bit.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of humor there to it that you could mine, I suppose. My question is, was she actually lactating to that point, or was she just trying to get some pleasure from her cat's mouth?
Let me ask you mothers out there, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. How easy would it be like, if you could squeeze some breast milk into a cat's mouth, would that be difficult? Because I also feel like they might like it, or would that severely poison it? Because it's human milk and it's supposed to go to other humans.
Right.
And like, would it be bad for a cat to drink human milk?
I'm of the
or
mind.
Is it good?
Isn't milk bad for cats?
I think milk is also supposed to be bad for cats.
Yeah,
yes.
But I know that like back in the day, again, based upon Looney Tunes.
Cartoons.
It looks like milk, but they don't like milk. So this woman was wrong on, unless she had like pea soup shooting out of there. Or maybe
they're not supposed to have it.
No, they're not. So anyway, that's a true story. A woman was kicked off a Delta flight.
Yeah, man, it's on all the real ones.
Cat.
It's true. It's on all the real newspapers now. So yeah, obviously it's out there. And this woman, wherever she is, I mean, hopefully she's at the live show. And if you're at the live show, let us know ahead of time, because I'd love to ask you these questions. I'd love to ask you what was going through your mind and what you're thinking about, because they haven't named her, obviously, because it's still not a crime. They didn't even really say what they did to her after the flight. They sent the message. Apparently, they fought a little bit, and eventually she did put the cat back into the carrier.
Well, perhaps it would be Indecent Exposure. Ooh, Indecent Exposure, the sequel. Where she breastfeeds her cat.
But then, I am going to probably imagine she has some money. So she might be willing
to go to court. Maybe. She was in 13A, and for those that
don't fly all the time, I think
it's Comfort Plus. It might be Comfort Plus, but it's also the aisle seat. Oh. So that means that she was just straight up not. Maybe it's the windows. Either way, there's people around.
This might be the end of a very long string of YouTube pranks that we're not aware of. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there might be a whole story to this that we don't know, that this was supposed to be a bit just a tragic story of someone who's completely broken and off their medication.
Live from your grave.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it, but guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life, how much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy, because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lastpod.
Well, speaking of cats, but in kind of a totally different term, and in wrestling news, this is kind of a crazy story. So I just want everyone to know, if somebody who is famous is in your DMs, it's not them.
Unless they are trying to have sex with you and you're 16 years old, and they shouldn't be there. No, a celebrity email, like, it should be quick, a little shit back and forth. This story to me is about like how when you're in the public eye, sometimes people can extrapolate a relationship with you, because not even a parasocial relationship, because parasocial is way more like streamers actually, they do talk to you, they do like refer to you, and YouTubers, these are people that would not necessarily speak to you unless it's a real quick like love you brother, and you go like me too brother, like that type
of
thing.
Sure, a heart or something like that. But this is wrestler Seth Rollins. So for those that don't know Seth Rollins, he's one of the most famous wrestlers around right now. He's an incredible wrestler. He is with the WWE, and I wish they would use him better, but that's just me. Okay, so this fan Alisa Spencer, it's a boy, but his name is Alisa Spencer.
I think it's Eliza.
Eliza? Okay, Eliza Spencer. I don't know. Whatever. He said that he had, quote, beef with the wrestler because they were interacting in their DMs. So Spencer, when WWE came to town, he saw this as an opportunity at Barclays Center in Brooklyn to jump a barricade, and then he tackled Rollins, and Rollins was very close to just beating the living shit out of him.
Well, the thing is that Rollins on camera.
The officials pulled him off right away.
Did you watch him tussle?
Because
Seth Rollins did good. Because this dude is like, he's a bigger beefy dude.
Yeah.
He was a beefy dude. He came around the corner and he tackled him. And then Seth Rollins, like, he protects him. Like, he grabs him around the head and he, like, tries to protect him because the guy's really trying to fuck with him. Like, he's all
he
over is. Him. And Seth Rollins
He did have him very close to a chokehold that would have knocked him out, which would have been pretty freaking cool. But
he didn't want to do it to a fan on camera, because it's still like, in the end, I know it's like fucked up, and so it's still a fan. Like, I'm not trying to lose a fan. I'm trying to keep a fan.
I think you could lose this fan.
Well, this is sad, because what happened was, I think that he might either be slow.
You know what, Henry? You can wrap it all up with. You can just wrap that up with a professional wrestling fan. He's a wrestling fan, so he might be taking things a little seriously.
Yes. So he said he went to an outlet because the dude started talking immediately to the cops, and he told them the whole story. He said that he met Rollins at a meet and greet. Cool, right? And so you establish a connection. You feel like things are cool. But the problem was that would also probably happen is that someone saw the picture from the meet and greet.
Maybe.
And then someone pretending to be Rollins via WhatsApp started messaging him. So even like, you know, like, what's going on, bro? He catfished him and he got $3,000 out of him. And this is how you know it wasn't Seth Rollins, right? This is how you know
Seth
it wasn't
Rollins
him.
Does not need any money. He is one of the reasons that they actually have to lay off quite a few wrestlers because his contract's pretty big.
But he said the internet Seth Rollins was asking to send him gift cards in exchange for money, mostly $500 or more. And he said it was to see if he was loyal.
So now that plays into, because Seth Rollins' character, it's the Messiah character.
Oh.
So he's kind of a cult leader. So I think that you're right. I think this guy, the guy who catfished him, had to understand some of the narrative, some of the
he must have
narrative that was going on, unless it's just that broad of a concept, which I guess could also be the case.
It was probably one of his friends, unfortunately. This is the thing that fucking happens too. And he said he asked him to be a blogger for him, and he needed to work his way up, right?
No.
And obviously, Seth Rollins had nothing to do with him being catfished.
No, this guy, right? Seth Rollins, he's after the match. He's just walking up to the ring. He's still in character. Then out of nowhere, this guy just bulldozes him.
But I love this statement from him. Apologize to the WWE for my actions. I had a legitimate beef. But as a grown man, I could have settled it in a different way. If I saw him today, I wouldn't attack him. I've moved on.
Does he still think it was Seth Rollins in his DM?
I think the man is... I just think that there's something missing here. I think that there's a little bit of thought missing here. Because in Seth Rollins, in his statement, which I also love, it's terrifying, brother. It happened very quickly. I was mostly just reacting and hoping that our security would come and do their job, which they did very quickly, and then was just trying to detach and move on. I hope that everybody is okay.
Oh,
which is actually really nice.
I love Seth the Hulk. Rollins.
That's the only wrestling voice I know.
He is supposed to be an exceptionally nice man, and he is the father and the husband of he is not the father of Becky Lynch, but he is the father of Becky Lynch's child, that is his wife, Becky Lynch.
Nice.
Anyway, so I guess the theme today is broken people.
It often is on side stories.
Yeah, it often is, because Henry brought this story to our attention in the green room. And I can't believe it involves a tuchus and a mortar shell. And I can't believe that this story is real. Today, the Lord had given this weekend or this week, because these stories are fucking completely insane. So the headline is, Henry can give the details, but the headline is, bomb squad called to Gloucestershire Royal Hospital after man gets World War II mortar stuck up his bottom. How did it happen?
I love this. But the whole bomb squad had it coming. If you look at this
bomb squad, this is so
funny. If you look at this mortar shell, it's big.
It's got to be
fucking big. So this is, I believe it's pronounced Gloucestershire. Who fucking knows? It's Gloucestershire. We know that that's not how it's pronounced. You know, it's always different over there.
It's like the Worcestershire. Locations.
So this is just insane, right? He showed up. The man was a military enthusiast, which I think is really interesting, because most of the time, if you are a military enthusiast, you've never received training, right? You just are someone from the side. You know who was a military enthusiast? Kyle Rittenhouse, right?
Sure.
Like, these are people that are, they're enthusiasts for the military because they've never had to do anything.
Absolutely, because when you're really in the military, at some point you become more of a military, you become fully bitter.
You're neutral.
You're at least anymore.
At the most, you're neutral,
yes.
Right? Right, you know, obviously in the military, it's good for blah, blah, blah. The man was, he said he found this shell while he was clearing out his bullshit, right? And then he tripped and he fell onto the 57 millimeter piece of army ordnance, and it landed in the hospital, right? And then, so we now know that the 57 millimeter mortar round was used by the Royal Artillery in the Second World War. So these are anti-tank rounds. These are big,
this
right?
It's huge. It's huge.
It was really, really big. And a source told us on, the guy said he found the shell when he was having a clear out of his stuff. And then he said he put it on the floor and he slipped and he fell on it. And it went up his ass. And like literally just like the only thing they fucking said. And when it showed up, right? Because he probably showed up like with like, oh, a bit of a tipsy. Of a bit of a dizzy little, situation here. I've got a bit of a rustabout going on in my back area. And they're like, all right, what's going on, sir? And you're like, oh, I fell on an object. You know, like that's how it starts.
Sure. Okay,
it doesn't
sure.
start with a bullet. There's no way. Then they go in. They open up his asshole and they look it in and they're like, can you imagine the call? Like, he's bent over, pants are down. The doctor's there with the, like, all this, you know, pair of pliers, all this kind of looking at it. And then he has to turn to the nurse and be like, call the bomb squad. This man's a terrorist. And then they, instead of, this is what's fucked up too, they call the bomb squad on him while it's up inside of him, because
of course,
bomb squad had to help them take it out of him. So you're the bomb squad. Your job is to stop terrorism, stop like all forms of terrorism. That's your job. And
right.
then how do they decide who goes in? Is it the
whoever
captain?
Was laughing the least gets to go in because they have sense of humors. It's very they have a good sense of humor if you're the bomb squad because you have to.
Because if you're the fucking because I feel like this is one of those where we'd be like we feel only the captain has the responsibility level to handle this. This is on the captain. There is no way or is it the new guy
around?
If you're a part of the bomb squad. SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Who on your team would be chosen to go in and disarm this man's butthole?
This is more important than SEAL Team 6 killing Osama bin Laden. I don't really care who fired the bullet, but I do want to know who saw the round in this man's asshole.
Because they got to stop their whole thing. They got to stop their whole day to roll over to the hospital en masse. Full, you know, because it's like guys with shields.
Oh, yeah.
Had to come into the room while he's still bent over, been like, oh, I didn't mean to cause this much ruckus. I made a bit of a slip and fall. And they're like, oh, that's how it got up into your fucking duodenum. Yes. It was a slip and fall. Where did you fall from the ceiling? I mean, how did this get up inside of you so
if
fast?
If he was practicing like the Yokozuna finisher or something, perhaps it could go up his butthole. I don't think so, though.
This is and where we here at Last Podcast and Left also have to remind you, put something that's only supposed to be in your ass up your ass.
Sure. The round was 57 millimeters in diameter and 170 millimeters in length. So, yeah, the man had a heck of a day. Well, and everyone can confirm that the bomb squad was there.
It's a little bit smaller. I'm doing the conversion right now. This is how good we are here at Side Stories and Last Podcast and Left. I'm doing the conversion. So technically, the width of it was about 3 inches.
Okay.
That can good go up the ass. It's more the length. And it's more the, in what Paddington Bear world do you, number one, completely nude going through your bullets? I know that's how I will go through my bullets one day. Like, I guess what you do. But you're completely nude, or at least Porky Pigging it, right? You got your fucking dick and an asshole out.
Right.
You're walking around your house. Do you slip on another bullet? And how does one bullet perfectly, like, stood
it would have
up
to be,
on the floor?
You would have to lube your bullets. I think that the man, there had to be lube involved in here, because we didn't hear any, like, stories of massive anal tearing. I think this man was so in love with
the military
old school munitions that he butt fucked himself with a bullet. And then unlike
and
a dildo, which
has
a nice cock and balls, so it doesn't go all the way in. That you know, they are there for presentation because everyone loves to hold a fake pair of balls, but it's also there so it doesn't go all the way in because then it can get stuck.
It's a stopper. The whole point is that your butthole is a perfect cylinder, right? And then it closes at the end of it, right? It wants to hold it inside. So you push it back up because it keeps your guts inside. So that thing fucking slides all the way from your guts. Honestly, he became a lethal weapon.
He really became
Mel Gibson for a hot second. But just that idea of like, man, I guess these are the type of guys that really should be in the military. These are the people that would really keep us free because they love bullets so much. Maybe they also don't want to waste them.
I do love the idea of the Hurt Locker where the one guy is just like, yes, I know what to do. Just spreads open his ass cheeks and puts every bomb up his asshole. Explode it now.
It's incredible.
Yes, fine. I'm fine. According to the hospital, they say, as with any incident involving munitions, the relevant safety protocols were followed to ensure that there was no risk to patients, staff, or visitors at any time. So it looks like they saw it, they handled it, and again, anyone in the healthcare profession, thank you for your service.
Seriously, I just want to give nurses gift certificates to things what they have to deal with all day long.
All
at least this one, the bomb squad got to do it. And not that.
Yeah, that is kind of fun. But then you just go to the next room and then someone has leukemia.
Yes.
And then they're like, why are you laughing?
That's
and
not
then
a, like, well, you know, this other guy's got a bullet up his ass. And he's like,
yeah.
My blood is dangerous. Very
it's
scary.
It's a tough freaking gig.
Live from your grave.
No matter what kind of work you do, how you communicate is key. All those emails, reports, and presentations are equally important to the collaboration needed to get things done. Grammarly can help. Grammarly is your AI writing partner to help you communicate more effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact at work. And isn't that what matters most? Better writing means a stronger impact. Grammarly works across 500 1,000 apps and websites. You can't escape it. Like the ever-pervasive octopus of malice that is the NSA. Grammarly is watching your every move, making sure that you're doing it right. Data privacy and security are woven into the foundation of Grammarly, into the very essence of its nature. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner, and it helps your team make their point and move faster, because that's the key there. Work smarter, not harder. Yes, Grammarly. You know how many times it saves me from writing a long, rambling, one-sentence email at 4 o'clock in the morning to my beloved employees? Makes me sound like someone who doesn't just have a BA in theater. All right, I was taught how to be a tree. I was not taught how to survive as an adult. All right, my job was to cry in front of a weird Southern man who just told me all sorts of weird stuff about my body. I didn't learn how to write. So thank you, Grammarly, because you're making me the boss I gotta be to motivate my team to get out there. And, oh, man, you don't want to mess with them. Thanks, Grammarly. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hey, did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it costs, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And Fast Growing Trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage, it's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list. With Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors. It's a waste. Don't waste hours on apps. Besides appetizers, that's the kind of apps I like. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Did you know that empanada is already Spanish? I didn't. Thanks, Babbel. Did you know that burrito is already Spanish? Wow! I just gotta learn all the rest. And eventually, I'm gonna be eating downtown Mexico. Thanks, Babbel. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/left. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/left, spelled babbel.com/left. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here's another mystery that's happening. This one's fucking, it is freaking me out.
Bro. This story is really freaking cool.
This is one of those where you're like, you know, it always turns out to be nothing, like the mask on Mars. And then obviously we've had several astronauts say that they have seen structures on the moon, right? Then they have seen, I believe it was, not even gonna try it. I don't remember his name.
Let's go with John Glenn. Why not?
Why not?
Sure. John Glennett.
But there are people, a lot of the astronauts have said they have seen weird structures on the moon. But this is the first time we've seen a fucking picture of one. This one's really interesting. China's U-22 rover spots a cube-shaped mystery hut
Yeah.
On far side of the moon. That's what they're calling it, a mystery hut.
Mystery hut.
Which is really interesting. Apparently they have a rover on there, and it's going around, and it took a picture of this cube on the horizon of the moon, and it is frightening. It looks like a sci-fi movie. Like, this is the beginning of a sci-fi movie right now.
Yeah, could be, could be. Well, I mean, it definitely is, as a matter of fact.
It is. They publish, I guess, U22 Diary. It's published by Our Space, which is a Chinese language science outreach channel affiliated with the China National Space Administration. I mean, like, you know, who knows what they're really up to, right?
Who knows what's happening up there?
But still, it is very interesting because the scientists have expressed a strong interest in the object. And now U22 is expected to spend the next 2 to 3 lunar days, which I didn't know, that's 2 to 3 Earth months.
Oh, wow.
Traversing the lunar, because going to the dark side of the moon, the other side of it, because it has to go around all of these craters. And I guess these things also move extremely slowly. Like, that's what they do. They really, they slowly climb.
The rover.
The rovers.
Yeah, they're going to chill out a little bit.
Yeah, and so the U22 lander made, it was there in 2019, but they're going over, it's eerie. It gives me chills.
It's cool
to look at it.
So, as Henry said, it's the China's National Space Administration, CNSA. They also previously in 2000, as Henry said, it's been up there since 2019. Apparently, in 2019, it also found this bizarre, colorful gel-like substance with a mysterious luster. And that substance has not been explained. So I know if the cliche
space
has been
slime,
like,
dude. Fucking slime gang, bro, on the moon, dude.
But the
that's
cliche
fucking
for,
sweet.
The cliche for a long time has been like, the moon's boring, but maybe.
Still,
it's not so boring.
There's still some mysteries on the moon, just like in our bedrooms.
Absolutely. Now, if you look at this, or in that man's butthole.
The one thing that they're saying is that it might be, the logical explanation they're saying right now is that it was a large boulder which has been excavated by an impact event, right? Like, basically, it got hit by a comet, which, that does make sense. But, man, if you look at pictures
of
the moon...
They also said maybe it was an alien crash. Maybe that was more tongue-in-cheek, though.
But yeah, I mean, the thing is, again, now what we'll see as we go through the soft yet hard disclosure world that we're in, where it's like, how much shit now will be faked as UFOs, specifically to hide anything cladocine anybody's doing up in space. I love pictures from the moon. They're cool looking, dog. Like, I like how when it's, I mean, whatever, dude, that might be edible stalking, whatever, but like watching those pictures of the rovers walk around, you just sit and think like, man, what would it be like to fucking chief up there, man? Like, you know, I have all of those hack thoughts looking at the fields of rocks on the moons. It seems fucking sweet.
Yeah. It might get boring.
Yes. But, it's actually also, it's very dangerous. In its way. Apparently. It's both boring and highly dangerous to be in space.
Right. All right. Well, before we get to Hero of the Week, just one final story. If you're a dominatrix, good. Go out there, have fun.
Love it.
These CEOs absolutely need to get beat up on Saturday nights, otherwise they're gonna blow up the world.
But also what I'm finding, my good sir, is that a lot of we've had some friends who are in the dominatrix world that say, like, that's a bit of a misnomer. There's a lot of people that like to get stepped on and like to get puked on and have their balls mashed and get their buttholes played with.
Okay. Point noted. So a dominatrix, her name is Julia Enright. She's 24.
Yep.
She is accused of bringing one of her, I guess, clients into a treehouse. His name is Brandon Chiklis. He was only 20. She brought him into a treehouse where she killed him. And apparently she said that there was a kind of a big turn on for her. Enright wrapped his body in a blue tarp and then dumped it along a highway, which I guess is what you do after you kill somebody in a treehouse. I don't know.
But he went up there for sex, but then she killed him because of how hot she found her. This is one of the first times we really hear from the female perspective of murdering for sexual pleasure. Because quite often they don't get as wet. They mostly get wet about, like, not having to deal with that bro anymore.
Absolutely. And of course, as we talk about, like, the satanic panic and stuff like that, this woman, this dominatrix, if it turns out that all of this stuff that was done intentionally and she really just murdered this man, it's interesting because the prosecutors are basically using the case that she's a Marilyn Manson fan. She was obsessed with grave robbering, death, and blood.
That's
and
our entire audience.
Exactly. And wrote about her fascination in journal entries, some of which were read in court.
No, the disturbing thing is she killed the dude.
Exactly.
Everything else is normal. Being a dominatrix is normal. All the rest of it's absolutely fine.
Read one journal entry. I just have an insatiable curiosity to kill a person.
yes, prosecutors alleged that is the abnormal part.
Yeah, I mean, the killing of the person. Also, prosecutors also alleged the killing of Chiklis was a former boy who was a former Boy Scout was, quote, a gift to her boyfriend. So isn't so what are you getting for Christmas? Did your significant other even kill somebody for you?
I don't know. I want a hat. I was looking at these fun hats that my grandfather used to wear. These like they're like the bullet style hats. It's like World War II style, like leather hats. That's what I want.
No, okay. That's an easier gift than a corpse.
Than a corpse. But sadly, honestly, or on to not to be anything, but it's actually very difficult. It's actually very easy to find a corpse if you want one. I mean, I'm not trying to do the Walter from Big Lebowski here.
Right.
I'm like, well, if you want a corpse, I can get you a fucking corpse.
Well, thank you so much, Walter. I'm good for now.
We can dig up a corpse.
The dominatrix apparently was dating Chiklis in high school, and that's how she was able to get him into the treehouse.
Facebook is a nuisance and a plague. That's where this comes from. This is all the same shit. I will say it is nice because Natalie's mom found her new boyfriend because he came back from high school. Is that type of shit? That does happen. In over 60 Facebook, it is a place to get fucking railed from your high school people, like people you haven't seen in 40 years. You know what I mean? That type of shit. But otherwise, this is what happens on Facebook. You end up in a dead in a treehouse.
Well, according to the DA there, Jeffrey Travers, he says that Enright enjoyed manipulating the guy, pulling him in and then pushing him away.
Of course.
And then she held a special kind of hatred for
him. Most women do.
Yeah.
That's normal. All of that is normal.
And I guess like when she was messaging Chiklis, knowing that she was going to kill him, she texted her boyfriend, "Do you think we could add bubbles to a bloodbath?"
Oh my God. Oh my God.
She might be a little corny, to be honest.
Well, yeah, seriously. I mean, of the DMs back in the day did read like that, though.
I guess the body of Chiklis, again, the victim here, it was found almost 3 weeks later by, again, the classic scenario from a jogger, found by a jogger.
Oh God, never jog. Get a treadmill. Be in your home. Go inside. Jog inside a structure. All you'll see is blood.
And she's arguing a self-defense there, which is a pretty...
Sure.
Especially defense. It's just a tough...
When you bring a man to your treehouse. Absolutely, of course. Where it's like a treehouse is a hard place to defend.
I forgot that treehouses exist, to be honest. When was the last time you were in a treehouse? I never really had a treehouse growing up.
The thing is that, we lived in New York, so we weren't going to build a treehouse. And you know what it is, Kissel, too?
What's that?
We were both too fat for treehouses. Because we couldn't be,
it's
too big.
Small man's game.
I try to go up in a treehouse. I remember one time you go up there and you just kind of feel how much you're not a bird. And you're much bigger than a bird. And you're bigger than the other kids. And you're worth, like, especially at that point, when you hit close to 300 pounds and you're in middle school and you're up inside of a treehouse, you're worth three other kids. They just bring other kids. They don't invite you up there.
Oh, absolutely.
One story I'll quickly just touch on. It's about these xenobots. They're talking about these like robots that are figuring out how to make more of themselves autonomously. They are just figuring out how to make more of themselves. It's in a biological thing. It's on like a micro level. Like it's very, very small, but it is fascinating. If you do read this, anything about it, it's about what we are going to be calling robots in the future, which is they are made out of natural materials. They're made from frog like cells. Mm-hmm. And then what they did was what they called the programming was that they shaped that made them a specific shape, because what these things naturally started doing was that they started pushing together stem cells in order to make more of them. And then giving it a little butthole crevice allowed them to catch more, to goop them all together faster. And then all of a sudden they just make a bunch of them. And so there's a lot of people saying, oh, it's robots, but we're not yet at like nano machines doing it. These are cell-based created organisms that we're going to see more and more of. Like,
when I first heard this story, I didn't read it on InfoWars. I read it I think it was Science something. So it was very positive because apparently this can help cure a lot of diseases. Like,
oh no, but
MS,
it can be.
And it's a thing.
Have you ever heard about the big goop or the big gray goop? It's this
only
concept.
When you were in slime, I know there was slime crime, which got cleared up,
but poor people getting kicked out of their fucking flop house was what really cleared up the slime, it seems. But It's interesting. There's a concept that's called the big goop, I think you'd call it, or the gray goop. And it's this concept about self-replicating nanomachines going haywire and making so much of themselves that they encompass all living life. They create a giant amorphous blob of nanomachines and that slowly leak over the entire world and just consume all of us. That's a panic thinking. That's a panic idea.
I can't wait to be the tangerine in the jello mold that nobody wants to eat.
You are so many cells. You are so many good goopy cells.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be so good for those machines, man.
All right. Well, speaking of good cells, let's get to Hero of the Week.
I need a hero.
Woo! This is coming in from California, actually. This story is really cool. So there's this football team. They're a high school varsity team. They went 12-0, and all 23 players and their coach are deaf. They don't play in a hard of hearing league. They play against, normal hearing people. And it looks like they're about to win the state championship. Their name is the Cubs, the varsity team from Riverside, California. They've lost every single game in previous seasons. Now, somehow, they have just had a kick-ass year.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
It's awesome. So good for them. And it's difficult enough playing the sports. And I can't even imagine when you're deaf what you have to overcome.
But you build a hive mind, I bet.
Maybe. According to Enzo Enos Zornoza, he says, "We can do anything. Deaf people can do anything. We're not this stereotype that's out there.
Of course.
We're breaking news that we can do it right. And not just our school here, but other schools for the deaf can do it as well." So that's really awesome, and it's just great. So
yeah, that's so sweet. Did you remember when Travis showed us that big poop?
As a matter of fact, I apologize. I do have to correct myself. They did win the state championship. So
that's fucking incredible. Good work. Yeah. Did you see when Travis showed us that big poop? Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah, it was a massive poop. Did you want that to be Hero of the Week? Or
I've been thinking about it.
Yeah.
Ever since he showed it to me.
It was much larger than the mortar shell. It was huge. It was
the single biggest poop. And then I'm looking at the picture right now.
You are.
As we're talking, I'm looking at it and I'm still just so fascinated by it. It's just so very, very big. Like, yeah. And the look on the nurse's faces, like she looks so surprised and also helpful. But I'd like to know the story on that. If anybody knows, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. Right. Big poop nurse surprised.
Sure.
Into your Google.
Big poop nurse surprised. What are you thinking? Well, anyway, when it comes to the deaf high school football team that won the championship, they said they took it one game at a time, one practice at a time. Just like that man who took that dump. One
took that
at
big
a time.
Dump.
Wide receiver Jory Valencia says, "We're destroying every game. We're showing the world what we can do. We're
Fuck
not
yeah.
losing anymore." So good
Fuck
work,
yeah.
guys. You guys are heroes. Congratulations.
All right, here we go. Here's a little bit of listener emails. I've been sitting on this story since June, and it has been slowly ruining my mind for the
Great.
Last 6 months. I want to start off by saying that I was born and raised by a clairsentient, clairvoyant dad who passed that on to me as well as clairempathy. So needless to say, I was basically raised to embrace and believe in the supernatural. Okay. Now on to the good part. I was working on my city's animal shelter from December 2020 to September 2021, and I constantly felt like I was being watched or followed, right? And I heard animals that weren't there. At first, I played it off as just being nervous to start a new job, but as the weeks went on, I realized those things I felt and heard hadn't stopped. For example, I would think I saw dogs in the ward that weren't there, or hear cats meowing, even if we didn't have any cats in the shelter. So one morning, I went to take care of a cat quarantined in our grooming room. I specifically remember the doggy gate in between the doorway from the first room into the grooming room being closed. After I fed the cat, I decided to leave the gate open because the cat was calm, and I always had a particular hard time with the dumb lock, right? And I left to help my coworkers with some kittens for a few minutes. That's cute. That's a cute job.
Sure.
A little while later.
You have to execute a lot of animals as well.
Yes, I actually bet you that. Yes, it can be very emotionally exhausting. A little while later, when I opened the door to the first room again, there was a dog I did not recognize standing there growling at me. So naturally, I closed the door and walked away, not thinking anything of it. But 10 minutes later, I asked one of the front desk ladies what was up with the dog and grooming. She was shocked. She said there shouldn't be anything in there. So we both went, and when we opened the door, the dog was gone and the doggy gate was closed. Obviously, we were both in shock and started freaking out when I told her about the gate. She was nice enough to entertain my delusions and check the system and talk to the animal services officer working that day. Of course, it turns out there was never a dog in there. I spent the rest of my 8-hour shift trying to make sense of the whole thing while trying to convince myself that I wasn't crazy by telling myself things like, it's super early in the morning. I was probably just tripping for a second. I mean, honestly, as a person that eats a lot of edibles and mushrooms, you never know. Sometimes I wonder if a thing I saw or thought was like legit, or it's just like one kernel in my duodenum of something like melting into my system.
No, we were talking about that with all of my memories. It's nice when someone confirms them.
Yes. Very good. At least it's real, right? However, later that day, when I was about to leave, the same girl came up to me and told me that I wasn't the only one having weird experiences that day. In fact, another front desk lady had something that felt like a dog pulling on the back of her shirt, but when she turned around, there was nothing there. At least it wasn't a dude dressed as a dog, because that's always bad. I felt relieved and more confused, as I had never seen an apparition or spirit before and haven't seen any since, which is honestly the worst part of this whole thing, which is really interesting. The idea of seeing, my mom talks about seeing the dog's ghost all the time, being like, that was from Valentine, our first dog, being like,
what, like Valentine, a fart or something?
Valentine sent you a credit rebate, like literally stuff like, I got a $50 rebate for my credit card the other day. That must have been Valentine. That must have been Pop. And I was like, no, it's your credit card company's making a mistake, Mom. I love you, but
Valentine. You don't know.
You never know.
Is that the one she fed to death?
No, Valentine was normal.
Okay, good.
Valentine was put together the old-fashioned way with a needle.
Oh.
Now, your last episode regarding veggie crimes and rhubarb violence reminded me of an incident from my childhood. Young asparagus is a tender, delicious vegetable. However, as summer begins to fade.
What a weird intro.
I love this. The plants grow into tall, woody stalks with feathery fronds, which eventually bear seed to repopulate the patch. As children, my brothers and I were mostly left without supervision to complete our chores and then get into whatever mischief we saw fit, just to be back inside for dinner. My older brother and I cut several tall, woody asparagus stalks, trimmed the fronds off, and decided to sword fight with them on top of a large dirt mound in King of the Mountain type scenario.
That's fun. Got it.
In the midst of battle, my green sword snapped, and I was left defenseless to my brother's thrashing. This is about as painful as being whipped with a tree switch.
Woo.
And it left some proud, deep red welts.
Okay.
In a moment of courage, I reared up with a broken stalk of my asparagus and stabbed my brother in the forearm. The splintered stalk stuck into his arm just below the skin, about 3 inches, and broke off, leaving a chunk of asparagus hanging out of his bloody arm. He screamed in pain, and he ran into the house for medical attention from my mother. In a bizarre twist of asparagus pea irony, he told my brother he was pissed at me for stabbing him. And later, he was spanked for using the foul word. Fundamentalist, truly far too uptight. That's very funny.
All right, asparagus crime. It's real. It's
and then there. Mostly we got a lot of emails saying, for the love of Christ, don't drink cactus water.
Great.
And a lot of people trying to pronounce a bunch of the different things. In the when we did the episode about Cork in Ireland, we said everything incorrect.
Great.
In Gaelic.
Fantastic.
And they said that there's a bunch of stuff in here where it's like tag is tiug,
tiug.
And the Diarmuid is Dermud, Dermud. It's an Irish version of the name Dermot, and Pawdy, which is Pawdy. He got this one right, to be fair.
So. There you go. So, well, there you go. Thank you.
Yes.
All right, everyone.
So sometimes
you're
correct.
Thank you so much for listening. Sometimes.
So every day you got to live your life like you are a man whose butthole can take a bullet any day of the goddamn
Woo!
Week. Because when it comes down to it, you got to love the fact that fucking you got Kevlar guts. That's me, baby. I eat so much spicy shit, so much milk, so much dairy, just to test it, just to strengthen my butthole, just in case someone comes around me. Let's say I'm locked outside of a hotel for some reason, completely nude,
sure.
Right? Like, I'm outside of the hotel. I didn't mean to. I was in the hallway trying to quickly put out, like, the room service, and I'm stuck out there. And then, like,
right.
I run out to the lobby to try to get a new ticket. They try to get a new key. They're screaming at me saying, get out of here, you nude man. And I'm like, I am a man with a room at this hotel. And then you
right.
go outside, and then a man tries to rob you while nude. I can bend over, and then when he sticks the gun up my ass to shoot me through my body, I can laugh
right.
at him, knowing that my guts can handle at least one strong ass bullet.
Oh, there you go. Absolutely.
I got there.
Triple. You got there and it was a beautiful tale of woe. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thanks to everyone who came out to the shows in Portland.
Portland was so fucking good. We had such a good show. I'm so excited to be back on the road. This week, it's going to be fun. We got a lot of fuckers to see.
We do. We can't wait to see you all real soon. And Oregon. All of you guys were just so unbelievably sweet. So thank you so much.
Oregon was very well behaved and they did it good, except for all of the murders that we saw. But again,
there was a lot of that.
There was a lot of murder in Portland that weekend, but also what a beautiful city. Nice people.
It was beautiful.
Big ups to our friends.
All right, everyone. Absolutely. Thanks for listening.
We'll see you this week. Hey,
absolutely. Hail yourself.
Hail Satan.
Congratulations, everybody.
Hail me, motherfuckers.
Sure.
See you soon, Boise. What the hell are we going to do there? I don't fucking know.
Don't sit on any weapons.
Yep. Leave them at home.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.